We will soon return home to the mundane, the ordinary, the routine responsibilities of our lives. But I want you to remember one lesson that I have for you today. In this world, in the Olam Hazeh, we do not see everything that is going on around us spiritually. We know God, his son, Yeshua ben Elohim, and we have his Ruach HaKodesh, and he fully knows us. But we would do well to remember that until the day of full redemption, our vision is limited to what God allows us to see and know. Just as it says in the Torah in Deuteronomy 29, the secret things belong to Adonai our God, but the revealed things belong to us and our children forever in order to do all the words of this Torah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, our Parasha Hashuvah this week and the Haftarah both speak of Balak and Bilam and the narrative of how they conspired together to curse Israel and to bring our nation into complete destruction. But the Almighty One, the Holy One of Israel, intervened with the help of no man, and he saw fit to control the mouth of Bilam, the wicked prophet, thereby protecting and shielding our people from the coming onslaught. However, our Heavenly Father, our fathers, our patriarchs, knew nothing of this drama that was unfolding before them and was going on around them. While our ancestors sat in their tents lounging, the Mogen Avraham, the shield of Abraham, was interceding on our behalf, saving us from certain doom. And ladies and gentlemen, this is an encouraging message that reminds us that while we enjoy a prophetic end time revival as the Messianic Jewish movement today, we enjoy a certain level of advanced revelation in the Ruach HaKodesh, nevertheless, we must still know that God is waging war against our enemies, even on our behalf today, without us ever even knowing it. Think about it. This truth, ladies and gentlemen, is comforting to us. Despite what we see with our eyes, we must put our faith back in complete trust in the loving care of our Heavenly Father. And to the extent that we are in submissive relationship with Yeshua, who makes us into his righteousness and into his purity, which will all deflect, we will have that protective shield which will deflect and extinguish every single wicked assault that the enemy comes against us as individuals, as communities, and as this prophetic Messianic Jewish end times movement. That's what this message is about. And I've entitled it Behind the Scenes. Behind the Scenes. The first point I want to talk about very quickly is God is always working behind the scenes. He's always working behind the scenes. And in our parasha, the first two chapters, chapters 22, beginning in verse 2, all the way through chapter 24, there's a dramatic plot unfolding among the Gentile nations, Moab and Midian. And it is as if this were a movie where the scene changes from the protagonist, the hero, Israel, to the antagonist, Bilam and Balak. And the scene changes, and now we see this unfolding. And throughout these two chapters, there's absolutely no evidence that Israel knows anything about what's going on. And what's interesting to me is that God saw fit to have these developments recorded for us in the Torah. Why do you think God wanted us to know about all these events that took place with Balak and Bilam? Well, the answer, ladies and gentlemen, I believe lies in the Haftarah portion, which is Micah 6, verse 5, which says, "O my people, remember, please," and that's the key word right there, remember, remember, zechor, "what Balak, king of Moab, proposed. What did Balaam, son of Beor, answer him? From Shittim as far as Gilgal, so that you might acknowledge the righteous acts of Adonai." So see, God says, remember these things. He wanted us to know that this happened so that we would remember, just as Yeshua says in the Passover Seder, Zechor, remember me As often as you do this, remember, it's very important that we remember these events in our Torah portion, because God wants us to acknowledge his saving righteous acts. Amen? And yes, it is he who is righteous. It is he who saves us. It is not of ourselves. It is not by our own hands. It is he who delivers us from the power of our enemies. And this is where the rubber meets the road, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go home. We're going to face our challenges, our obstacles, our tsuris, our problems, our roadblocks, and perhaps even a little illness or spiritual life-threatening plots to destroy us. But I'm here to tell you today to remember his righteous acts. Acknowledge them. Remember what he did to Balak and Bilam. Remember now and then when you're facing the onslaught that you may not understand what is going on or what you see before you, but remember this lesson. Just as Job had no idea of the conversation in heaven that took place between Hasatan and the Almighty, and when everything came crashing down in his life, all he could say was this verse in Job 13, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. This is what we need to do now. And remember, while we're in basking in the joy of our final day of this conference, remember the shield of Abraham. My final point, I'll close with this, is inviting trouble into our own homes. If you look at this Torah portion and the whole Sidra, it ends in chapter 25 with all of this coming down. Israel is protected, but all of that protection, ladies and gentlemen, becomes undone by our own hands. Our own calamity, because we invited immorality into our midst. Look at this verse, chapter 25, Numbers. While Israel was staying in Shittim, the people began to have immoral sexual relations with the women of Moab, and they invited the people. Look at this. We were invited, or if we invited, it doesn't matter. We accepted an invitation to practice immorality. And when Israel became bound to the Baal Peor, the anger of Adonai grew hot against Israel. Look, ladies and gentlemen, we invite calamity into our own homes sometimes. Sometimes terrible things happen to us, and we wonder why, and we wring our hands in frustration. But sometimes when we compromise our position of purity and holiness, we are inviting the calamity into our own homes, and the protective shield that is around us is lifted away. We cannot afford to ever do that, to give in to temptation or to hold unforgiveness or bitterness or revenge or anger or unclean speech. Whatever it is, ladies and gentlemen, just as our ancestors invited immorality into the tent, we must never do that. Let us devote ourselves to never doing that as we go forward from this conference. And how do we do that? Paul says we need to put on the new man. And this is the final verse. I'll close with Ephesians 4, verse 17. So I tell you this, indeed I insist on it in the Lord, walk no longer as the pagans do, stumbling around in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance in them due to the hardness of their heart. Since they are past feeling, they have turned themselves over to indecency for the practice of every kind of immorality with greed for more. However, you did not learn Messiah in this way. If indeed you have heard him, you were taught in him as the truth is in Yeshua. With respect to your former lifestyle, you are to lay aside the old self, corrupted by its deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And then finally skip down and look at verse 27. Nor give the devil a foothold. Ladies and gentlemen, there's the key. There's the key to it all right there. Let us not give the devil a foothold in our homes. God bless you as you go forth from this conference. Shabbat shalom.
Amen. Great job, Rabbi Eric. Wonderful to hear from one of our younger rabbis, and he just gave a terrific message. We're going to continue with some of the traditional worship of this Saturday Shabbat service. I'm going to invite Max Olin to come up and lead us in the English in the Avot. If everybody would please stand together and join Max in the Avot section of the Amidah.
Blessed are you, Lord our God and God of our fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, the great, mighty, and awesome God, the Most High God, who bestows loving kindness and creates all, and remembers the righteousness of the fathers, and brings a redeemer to their children's children, for his namesake with love. O King, helper, savior, and shield, blessed are you, O Lord, shield of Abraham.
Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu, Elohei Avoteinu, Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, Ha'el Hagadol Hagibor V'Hanora, El Elyon, Gomel Chasadim Tovim, V'Kone Hakol, V'Zocher Chasdei Avot, Umevi goel ivne vneham, lema'an shemo v'ahava, melech ozer u'moshiyah u'magen. Baruch atah Adonai, magen Avraham.
Amen. And we'll continue with the Gibor, led by Alicia Edwards. Please join her.
O Lord, you are mighty forever. You raise the dead. You are mighty to save. You sustain the living with grace and resurrect the dead with abundant mercy. Uphold the falling, heal the sick, and set free those in bondage, and keep faith with those that sleep in the dust. Who is like you, master of mighty deeds? And who can compare to you, king, who causes death and restores life and makes salvation sprout? And you are faithful to resurrect the dead. Blessed are you, Lord, who resurrects the dead.
Atagi bar le'olam Adonai, mechayei metim, atarav lehoshia, mechalkel chayim b'chesed, mechayei metim, b'rachamim robim, samech noflim, b'rofei cholim, umatir asurim, umkayem emunata, Lishenei afar Michamocha Bagvurot Umidom elach Melech memid Umchaye Umatmiach Yeshua V'neheman atah L'hachayot metim Baruch atah Adonai Mechaye Hametim.
Amen. We'll continue with the mourner's Kaddish. You can stay standing or not. If you're remembering a loved one, I know there's different traditions with this. You definitely are invited to stand as Marty leads us in the mourner's Kaddish. Otherwise, you can sit or stand as you choose.
Yitgadal